This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Gene, Chris, Goggs, and Micah Hanks. Goggs, you had a question.
Less a question than a new slant to the topic. Something I'm very interested in and that I have asked you guys to ask questions of various guests over time. If you remember when Colonel Charles Holt was on, you asked one of my questions, which was, do you think there is a control group, i.e. a group that a secret group of officials or whatever who keep an eye on the UFO topic, try to keep it quiet, cover things up, yada yada, all that kind of thing. And I'm constantly going between two points of view, thinking, well, there certainly seem to have been major events in ufology where it seems that something has definitely been clamped down on, you know, officials, Air Force officials, whatever, seem to appear quite quickly and say, you know, don't talk about it, remove evidence, what have you. But at the other hand, I think, well, how could such a group be, how could it keep going through the decades without everyone knowing about it? Because, you know, from where are the members chosen? How does it manage to kind of bypass presidential control from one administration to the next, or, you know, whatever? So I'd kind of like to ask Micah what he thinks about, you know, is there a control group for ufology?
I've seen some compelling evidence of that over the years, and we can look at it a number of ways. You know, whether we look at the classic idea of Majestic 12, which I don't buy that. I think that maybe aspects of the Majestic 12 mythology were maybe based on, you know, some things that were rooted in truth, but I think it's pretty obvious, and of course, thanks to the work of a number of researchers, including Robert Hastings and others over the years, it's pretty obvious Majestic 12, as documented and released to the UFO community a few decades ago, is probably not what actually was. Nick Redfern has talked about this, you know, Collins Elite. There have been different manifestations of a purported group, you know, that or several, probably, that you know, work behind the scenes and have interest in UFOs. I'm reminded of this statement that I guess it was Jimmy Carter had said that upon assuming the presidency, he had asked then CIA Director George Herbert Walker Bush about information on UFOs, to which Bush had said, well, Mr. President, you don't have a need to know for that information. If that is indeed true, the question I guess one might posit is, well, if not the Commander in Chief of the United States of America, then who has the need to know for that information? But it could be that it is a security issue, and that whether or not the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, or any other agency of three letters or whatever, whether or not they have all the secret details on whatever UFO phenomenon really is or is not, it very well may be that what information they have collected is of national importance, and it may not be a situation that the president necessarily has to have all the details about that. Now, whether or not we agree with that, that to me is unlikely to how these organizations probably operate. And frankly, these intel agencies often don't share information even with one another, let alone our elected officials. You know, another thing I think that should be pointed out, though, too, is that in the absence of being able to come to a logical determination about this phenomenon, which, Gene, as you had just said, we don't really have a set of rules or guidelines. Nobody has written, in my opinion, a convincing handbook about what the UFO phenomenon is. We look at some of these, you know, some of these researchers who have over the years maintained the validity of things like Majestic 12. We look at people like John Alexander who say just the opposite, and then we see guys like Grant Cameron, who I respect, but, you know, there was a bit of a gaffe a few months ago when he pointed out that Majestic 12 wasn't mentioned in Alexander's book, when in fact there was an entire chapter on that in the most recent book that John Alexander had written on the subject. And I think that what we see is, rather than shoddy research or a secret, you know, conspiracy that Alexander is a part of, I think what we see is, first with Alexander, an individual who, having worked in government, did his best to determine if there was such a control group and found no evidence based on his legitimate exploration into levels of government known and accessible to him that was evidence of that. And then I think we see among the research community people who at times don't realize that they are engaged in something of a willful dismissal based on a, I think, a presumptive attitude that they approach this subject with. And numerous people, some whom I'm friends with, still maintain certain degrees of belief in things like MJ-12, Roswell, and a lot of these famous cases for which there are staunchly varying opinions on. A good person to look at in relation to, I think, Roswell would be Kevin Randall. His perspectives on that case, having studied it for so long and having changed his opinion so much over time as his skepticism grew, I think that that gives, you know, a very good summary of really how we all have to look at the UFO community. We have to look at all the evidence, and we can't be beholden to hoping that there's a belief, because, guys, science doesn't seek to prove. Science, good science, seeks to disprove hypotheses, and you know, when you're left with something that you can't disprove, then you have a good theory to work with, I think. So, unfortunately, there is a lot of kind of preconception, bias, and hopeful belief among the UFO community that leads to things being overlooked from time to time. Whether or not that, again, is evidence of, or the lack thereof, of some sort of a control group, I don't know, but I think that many people, for lack of any better understanding of what this phenomenon represents, I think like to hope that there is somebody out there who is controlling. Maybe the closest that we've really come, that we do have evidence of, that is, I think, with the release of documents pertaining to things like MJ-12 that are so obviously hoaxed, there's probably been an attempt to use what is perceived as the UFO phenomenon to control people who are UFO researchers for purposes of dissemination of information that is going to be misleading to the public, probably with hopes of covering things like actual stealth aircraft programs and the like.
I totally agree with your analysis, Micah. And also, I would like to add that reading John Alexander's book, it dawned on me that the one agency or organization within government that probably is sitting on the most amount of data would be the NRO, in charge of monitoring, you know, our satellite activity and the equipment aboard those satellites, whether it's for terrestrial spying or intelligence gathering, electronic intelligence gathering purposes. But he doesn't mention the NRO one time in his book. And I think that that's a very telling statement, non-statement, if you will.
I've got a couple of things to say about John Alexander, and one is that I do understand his point that, you know, he genuinely tried to find out if there was a cover-up and what have you. But if there is a cover-up, if there is any kind of control group, I don't necessarily think even a colonel in, you know, non-lethal weapons research is necessarily going to have even remotely the access that would be required.
He has no need to know.
No, exactly. If the president doesn't, then I'm sure a colonel not directly involved wouldn't have. And I know I worked at Britain's NSA, GCHQ, and I was in Naval Intelligence, and I know that's the whole point of it. You just simply don't need to, if you're not working on something directly, then you don't have any reason to know about it, and you shouldn't know about it. So if we're talking about the thing that's supposedly, you know, more secret than the atom bomb and what have you, then John Alexander, in all respect to him, would be very, very far away from getting to the inside. But, and also another point is the whole thing about when governments, militaries, whatever, and they profess that they're not interested in UFO topic, I just find it utterly inconceivable that if there are suspected craft flying about that have this super advanced technology, there isn't a chance in hell that the military and the military industrial complex wouldn't be interested. I mean, my God, can you imagine the war winning technology and all the offshoot technologies? We always go on about, well, look what the space race has given us in terms of, you know, Teflon and whatever. If we could get even any of the secrets of just by studying UFOs, a bit like how Ray Stanford is, never mind getting a hold of one, then there has to be interest. There has to be extreme interest. And, you know, the old chestnut about no defense significance, that is just the biggest joke in ufology. To think that, you know, multiple airmen personnel at a nuclear base have some kind of encounter over several nights. I'm talking about Rendlesham, of course. And anyway, the bottom line is something weird went on near to where nuclear weapons were stored. If that isn't of defense significance, then I genuinely don't know what is.
Unless, of course, it involves some kind of test aircraft where things went wrong. We'll have to see. A lot more to talk about. Gogs Mackay is there. We also have Gene and Chris with our guests, Micah Hanks. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Goggs had a bit of a soliloquy there on various issues about UFOs and who might know what and where and when. Goggs. Mackay, when you were doing intelligence, in what areas?
it was signals intelligence. So it's the, and as in like what the NSA and GCHQ are involved in, is just the collection and analysis of signals intelligence. So it's not very interesting.
And if he tells you anything more, Gene, he's going to have to come to Mesa and maybe take you out.
I was going
to
say, well, he's got a need to know for that information, does he?
And I'm so cautious about even saying exactly what kind of thing I did, just because I don't want to obviously fall foul of the Official Secrets Act. But I can tell you that it is interesting to kind of be exposed to things that, you know, 99.9% of the public will never hear of, but anything I did personally wasn't, you know, very interesting. And certainly, what you know, it's one regret I have, is that while I was in the Navy, I should really have asked the people involved in electronic warfare if they had ever had, you know, any really fast tracks on radar, that kind of thing. And I was into UFOs at that time, but for some reason it just, you know, with day-to-day work and all that, it was at the back of my mind, and I kind of wish that I did pursue that kind of thing at the time, but I never did. But I really doubt that anyone I had come in contact with would have had any earth-shattering information.
But if we have information that's that compartmentalized, and we've had it for 6-7 decades, the U.S. has it, maybe intelligence services in Great Britain, France, whatever. Big question is, how do you keep the secret? Generation after generation, leadership changes, all that sort of thing.
But it hasn't been kept, of course, because there have been documents leaked, official documents that, you know, pretty plainly state the interest in the subject of UFOs. So if there had never been any document released, and, you know, we weren't talking about anything to do with the military and UFOs, then you could say that the secret has been kept, but it hasn't. And even, you know, I suppose Roswell, regardless of what the truth of it is, the fact of the matter is that people have researched the subject of Roswell. And so something, considering that it kind of got hushed up, if you like, back in 47, it was, you know, oh, it's a weather balloon, it was a mistake, that's it. And it kind of did die till then, until in the late 70s when it was kind of dug up again. But the fact that people who you could say were supposed, if you believe something happened, people that were involved who would have been told that this didn't happen, you never speak about it because you've given an oath and all that, well, some of them did give deathbed confessions and what have you. So that is a prime example that the secret has not been kept. They might not have had, you know, perfect guilty knowledge, but people have broken their oaths and documents have been released. So the fact is that the secret hasn't been kept.
Goggs, if I may add, by the way, also, you know, there were two cases in Canada just within recent months that involved, again, what we could, you know, loosely define as being unidentified flying objects. One involved a red and white object that had a rotor that was flying at an altitude. It was an incredible altitude. This was observed by the pilot of a commercial plane. And then there was another incident in June that involved a small, dark-colored, wingless object that nearly collided with the plane, which is really a lot in keeping with the kinds of things I described in my book, The Ghost Rockets. But what's interesting to me about both of those cases is that Canadian, I guess I'm trying to remember what their division is. I guess it's not the FAA, obviously, like it is here in the States, but aviation authorities had said that there were no reports filed because of a lack of information about those, even though there seemed to be a potential hazard in both cases. What we do know about some of these UFO reports over the years, of course, as a result of the disclosure of documents, is that absolutely, government agencies thought that there was something of interest or concern because that documentation was kept. We know in other instances, since there has not been documentation kept on certain quote-unquote UFO cases, that if there are files that have been released to the public, somebody thought enough to investigate. And even if a lot of those take a very, you know, a kind of debunker attitude toward this, as many have pointed out, and if even if there are a lot of redactions and things that are contained, it still shows that there was interest in the phenomenon, and hence government agencies have obviously maintained that interest over the years and have collected data about UFOs. Now, I personally, although I'm not really a great big grand dark conspiracy theorist type, I do think that there's a lot of information without question maintained by government agencies that we probably haven't accessed, and there are very good reasons, and a lot of it has to do with the nature of how FOIA works. But I think that there's a lot of information that we do not, as civilian researchers, have access to with relation to the UFO phenomenon that government bodies have probably maintained and still do maintain.
Yeah, we know that in certain cases that, and in certain bodies like the FAA and in the armed forces, there have been times when people have said they've been involved in some kind of UFO incident, and their superiors have told them, like, you know, don't talk about this, don't whatever. So what I'm interested in is that those superiors that are telling their subordinates, do not talk about this incident, did they read it in a rule book somewhere that they should say that? Are their immediate superiors superiors telling them, tell people to keep quiet, this didn't happen kind of thing? Or is it almost like there doesn't need to be a control group somehow in the culture of UFOs? It's just like people inherently in positions of authority, they inherently think they should keep it quiet. So no one is actually telling them to do so, but they just think that's what they should be doing. So it's almost like it's self-perpetuating. There doesn't need to be an MJ-12. People think if you're in the military and you're a colonel, you're a whatever, if you get involved in something like this or your subordinates are, you should keep it quiet. And nobody even needed to tell them to do that.
Yes, it could very well be a very brilliant deception. Again, this kind of comes around to the approach that James Carrion has taken. Let's suppose for a moment, if we consider whether MJ-12 documents released to the public present an idea of a control group, certain factions of the UFO community buy it hook, line, and sinker. Others, Jacques Vallée, Robert Hastings, and numerous others, look at it and say, not so much. This is obviously bunk. It's proven probably later to be, with almost certainty, that it wasn't all based on truth, but maybe that there were little hints at some aspects that were true. What we are left with is a public perception of control, and hence an idea that UFOs are something we're not supposed to know about, which could in turn be both conducive to kind of washing, you know, with secrecy the actual projects that are going on, and presenting instead this idea of an alien cover-up, while at the same time creating an era of conspiracy with this UFO subject that you're not, quote-unquote, supposed to talk about, that leads people to treat it in such a way that it is something that maybe media agencies and even government agencies from time to time intentionally either downplay, refuse to discuss, or make light of. You know, we could presume that, again, the culture itself that has been kind of woven around the UFO subject over the last several decades has actually contributed to this era of secrecy. How much of that we can confirm, you know, is anybody's guess.
Right. Precisely. Yeah. Self-nullification.
You know, there's a lot I want to ask about this. We'll do our next segment. We have questions from our listeners of Micah Hanks as well. Our guest list includes Micah Hanks. We're joined by Gogs McKay, a forum moderator who comes on the show every so often to help co-host with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Harvard Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
This is the Paracast with Gene and Chris and Goggs, joined by Micah Hanks, who I consider a cutting-edge commentator on the UFO field. So, Micah, based on what we've been summarizing the last couple of segments, is it fair to suggest that the UFO meme grows out of the impression created by the government that things that are going on are UFO related? So if we're all looking for spaceships, we don't see what's really happening.
Well, I think that's fair to say to an extent. And, again, I think that's a similar case that James Carrion makes with his book, The Rosetta Deception, which I won't be able to get the free copy of since I already bought it. But again, when I say that I believe in supporting authors who do a lot of hard and good research, I think that everybody deserves to make a dollar here or there, so I'm proud to say I bought his book. Now, that said, I think that he would probably agree, as I think he even similarly discussed with you guys previously on this program, that while without question, and to mention another person who's made this assertion that there is a deception component involved with this. Well, Vallée said that, of course, and really anyone who wants to get an interesting perspective on Rendlesham and similar events, I think they should read the book Revelations, the third in his Alien Contact trilogy, which really brilliantly goes into a lot of this. But also Joseph P. Farrell has talked about the idea that there were propaganda efforts, especially shortly after the Second World War, which utilized information about UFO reports to basically kind of obfuscate and maybe mislead the public. A good example, I think it was in 1946 or 7, possibly, that there was a report of a saucer-shaped craft with an Iron Cross emblem on the side hovering over the Thames River in London. Now, of course, this wasn't reported during the war. It was reported afterward. And frankly, as Farrell points out, after the UFO meme had already been presented, which I guess would have to mean that it was 1947 or later. It may have even been 1948 or 49. But Farrell thought it was interesting, and I think he talks about this in his book, Saucers, Swastikas, and Psyops, where he mentions that this story, having not been mentioned in wartime, but after the presence of flying saucers is already established following the Kenneth Arnold sighting, seems to point to the idea that there was some sort of a German technology that was being utilized during the war. And what better way to convince our enemies than to have a Western source comment on this and talk about it in such a way that, oh gosh, well, maybe if we know that Nazi propulsion scientists and the like have been removed to the United States, and, you know, Wernher von Braun and Hermann Oberth and others, you know, end up at Huntsville, Alabama, and they're working for us. If the Russians read these newspapers and they see this, as they no doubt did, following intelligence internationally as they did, it would be a great way to instill in the minds of our enemies the idea that we had acquired some secret technology and basically don't mess with us, you know. So I definitely think that deception element exists and could have been utilized carefully and effectively as a tool. But I don't think that that removes the idea that there's a real phenomenon either. And I don't think that every good evidence we've ever found of UFOs is some component that is being utilized by, whether as Goggs had, you know, questioned, you know, a government control group that's seeking to try and control the more gullible among the research community, and hence why many skeptics have asserted, coming back to our central thesis here, that there's an end to ufology. They cite that lack of hard evidence, but the few good leads being evidence of something, and then people taking it to extremes and calling that evidence of a cover-up as being evidence of nothing. As UFO researchers, it's frustrating because we don't have a whole lot of evidence of, well, we know that there's something, but we don't really have much evidence as to what that actually is. So many people cave to the extraterrestrial meme. I clearly think, Gene, that there is something going on, and it's not all deception, but we don't know what that is, and we don't know enough about it, and that unfortunately provides a lot of fodder to naysayers who really do say that ufology is caving in on itself, when in fact, unfortunately, I think that the systematic beliefs that have been stigmatized and have been appended to the subject have prevented us from moving forward in a clear-headed fashion. I think too many people are out there looking for aliens, not enough people are out there looking for UFOs.
Right, yeah, very good point, and I couldn't have made it better myself. I think one of the problems that we're seeing in ufology is, you know, this pop culture programming. Everybody has this expectation, if they're not involved in doing the active research and really digging into this subject, they're allowing their TV to educate them. They're allowing the culture itself to be pointing them off planet. And we don't have enough information to make that leap yet. And unfortunately, ufology has become very entrenched with the ETH, or the extraterrestrial hypothesis, and any sort of creative thinking that arises that runs counter to that. A classic example would be Jacques Vallée being booed off the stage in the late 80s and swearing he'd never do another conference like that again. There is this kind of, I don't know, just a veneer of, if you run against the grain and you have, you know, you try to apply some creative thinking to this whole subject, you're shunned or you're shouted down. Unfortunately, that's, you know, that's something that the field has at some point is going to have to address if it wants to continue moving forward.
Yes, it is. And see, that was one of the initial reasons that I was making this statement in the article at my website that had to do with, you know, the end of ufology in relation to conferences and television programs and things like this. Look, you know, I'm not afraid to name a couple of names here. I have actually co-hosted events that have featured some of the stars of Ancient Aliens. We talked about them before on this program, and I've actually gotten some flack for that, you know, from Paracast listeners and from other people in the community. I don't think it's bad to feature people like Eric Von Daniken, you know, at an event if people are interested in going and hear Eric Von Daniken talk. I am adamantly opposed to calling him a ufologist. He is not a ufologist. Giorgio Tsoukalos is not a ufologist. And furthermore, when people want to try and launch criticisms against the study of ufology, when they really are just kicking back watching Ancient Aliens and trying to dissect things that Tsoukalos or Von Daniken or others may be talking about on those programs. A good example, Jason Colavito, skeptical blogger, he really basically spends most of his time dissecting the books that people who are fringe theorists and the like talk about. Well, that's fine, and he offers some very intelligent commentary. He's a bit negative at times and frequently a little too snarky for my taste, but I still think that he has every right to try and deconstruct the arguments of a lot of these researchers, and really, frankly, I don't agree with a lot of it myself, but I realize that there's an entertaining component to that, and I find it entertaining just as well. It is absolutely not ufology, though, and I love when people try and say that, oh, yes, we've got, you know, contact in the desert or whatever. You know, if people want to go to an event like that and attend that and have fun, that's okay. But when people in the mainstream, you know, whether it be New York Magazine or whatever else, want to go and say, yeah, this is ufology. No, it's not. That's not ufology in the least. When we're talking about the real scientific study or the attempts to scientifically study anomalous aerial phenomenon, that to me is UFO phenomena, which involves Earth-like research and earthquake lines. This is something that's been kind of an underground component of the UFO phenomenon for a number of years. John Dare, Michael Persinger, and, of course, more recently, Robert Theriault have been engaged in this. And, you know, have even co-authored papers that have been released under the under agencies like NASA that deal with the serious discussion of anomalous aerial phenomenon, which are not believed to be, quote-unquote, intelligently controlled mechanical aircraft of some kind, but nonetheless are, by definition, UFOs. Criticize those papers, as I have, actually. And frankly, I think that some of the information in such papers are, you know, at times cherry-picked just as well. But, you know, criticize the actual research that's going on, not the TV shows, which some people offhandedly in a peripheral way call, quote-unquote, UFOs. That's not ufology.
The TV shows, it's all about entertainment. They don't care about solving any mysteries. They look at the stuff that they think people will be interested in. Oh, of course, we have all these cultural legends like Roswell. It doesn't matter what really happened. It could be UFO related. In fact, I talked to somebody just the other day, an elderly gentleman who was friends with a so-called Roswell witness who talked about up to six aliens being seen. Who knows? You know, memories fade and it was done years later. So I don't know where to take it. These other people researching into unidentified aerial phenomena, do they ever consider that some of these objects or whatever might be spaceships?
Well, you know, I mean, I know we use the ubiquitous they when we say this, and I think a few people probably would come after me for saying that just as well. Mikey, you know, you say that you're in touch with scientists and people all the time, you know, so what are they doing and what are their thoughts? Well, a couple of points about that. I mentioned Persinger, and I mentioned John Dare, and I mentioned Robert Theriault, specifically because these guys have been involved in research into what's called earthquake lights, which are believed to be anomalous plasmas created by seismic activity, or that occur in conjunction with earthquakes, essentially. And that, again, I love this because in that community, there are a lot of seismic researchers who try to say that UFOs can be explained, much like Philip Klass said initially, let's keep in mind, by asserting that a similarly misunderstood or partially understood phenomenon, i.e. earthquake lights, is a explanation rather than extraterrestrial aircraft. You know, again, we have no proof that there are ETs visiting Earth. And I think that even the best UFO research, while sometimes suggestive of that, offers us no hard proof.
Micah Hanks is with us with Gogs, and Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step to towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We continue with Micah Hanks. We also have Gogs Mackay and Gene and Chris. A reminder, new things are happening at the Paracast. You want to stay abreast, we want you to sign up for our weekly newsletter. Free of charge. You don't get daily mailings of garbage and junk, just the newsletter every week. Go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com. Look at the big sign-up form. Sign up. You get a copy of Chris O'Brien's book, Secrets of the Mysterious Valley, an e-book, big e-book, compelling research. Let's continue with our discussions. So the key here is, I think, based on what I hear you say, Micah Hanks, is that we should go back to the beginning. What is this phenomena all about? I think the biggest problem to the field might be that some of the most famous researchers early on concluded it must be ET, and any evidence presented otherwise is dismissed. What do you think?
Well, I certainly think that's a good case. And I'll come back to that in a moment. I very briefly want to say that coming back to my previous statements about researchers in the field, who's doing this, you know, and people's ideas about what this may or may not be, I think that there are a lot of people in the scientific community, and I know for a fact because I know many of these individuals, they are willing to communicate with me. They have very opinionated ideas at times. Some of them are less opinionated, but they all share an interest in this phenomenon, whether that be skeptical or whether that be that they think that there's evidence of some sort of a non-human component, whatever. But by virtue of their position in government or their position as a, you know, professor at a university, many people have said to me, you know, Micah, I appreciate what you try to do with this phenomenon on your podcasts and in radio interviews, but, you know, please ask you one thing. You know, here's a paper I wrote on this. Don't post it online, or my name cannot be used publicly. Some people won't even – I've had people communicate with me who present very compelling information but who utilize pseudonyms because they're so cautious about the academic suicide, as it's called. That is concomitant with, you know, announcing publicly that you are a learned person or a person who is in a position in government, perhaps, or any other, you know, similar scenario, who is openly interested in UFOs. So that is something that we face, and a lot of people kind of dismiss that kind of information. But really, I think good researchers know, Nick Redfern's encountered this as well, that some people simply cannot come forth and be forthcoming and openly honest about their name and their reputation and what they find interesting about UFOs. So that's a bit of a conundrum, but I think it's something we kind of have to deal with sometimes too, and I do find that these individuals sometimes give good information. Now, coming back to what you say, Gene, about maybe early on there were certain determinations made or pseudo-determinations made about UFO phenomenon that have kind of led us astray. That's absolutely correct, I think. And here's why. Immediately after the Second World War, America, and really, I mean, none of us had been to space. We were not a space-faring civilization yet. We see objects flying through the sky. It's easy to presume, okay, logic would seem to dictate that they are flying through the sky. We never see where they come from or where they go to. We must presume, therefore, that they come from and return to the sky. And one of the early determinations about UFOs was not that these were independently controlled spaceships, but that they were drones that were actually being sent down from a larger mothership parked outside Earth's atmosphere. Why? Well, because with consideration of the Van Allen radiation belt and the other kinds of problems that we, having not gone into space ourselves at that time, had presumed about space flight, we weren't sure that a living body could survive traveling through and leaving or coming back into Earth's atmosphere. And hence, the travel into space at that time, whether or not possible, seemed even unlikely for some of the UFOs. And so we had presumed that saucers might actually be mechanically, remotely controlled aircraft. It's interesting because these determinations were people's best assessment at the time to try and understand what could possibly be going on in relation to the science that we had available to us and our understanding of it at that time. It only seemed logical, I think, to some of the best scientific minds. And whether you go back to Project Sign and Grudge, you know, the famous estimate of the situation, and people's attempts to try and say, okay, what are we dealing with? This technology appears to be something far more advanced than anything known to exist on Earth or anything that anyone should have access to now. Some of it's so far out there that it's literally just beyond us. It couldn't be anything but somebody else. And again, Gene, like you said, you know, years and years and years of sci-fi programming, comic books, television or films. I'm sure that this had already well established the extraterrestrial hypothesis in people's minds long before UFOs ever showed up. But that doesn't remove the interest that people have had in them and maybe the legitimacy of the reports, especially in relation to something Chris was talking about and Goggs as well earlier, and that is how many of these cases occur in relation to nuclear test facilities or weapon facilities.
That's a good point. I've got an interesting question here that kind of addresses that and how we move forward. This comes from Burnt State, one of our longtime posters at forum.theparacast.com. He's gone over the 2,000 post mark, so congratulations on that. Don't forget, you can sign up at the forum.theparacast.com or at paracast.com for our newsletter, and you get a free copy of the download of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. Here's a question from Burnt State, Micah. You reference a study of earthquake lights in your article, and we've just been discussing that as well, and how scientific pursuits in other fields may continue to illuminate the truth about unidentified aerial lights. Greg Bishop often says that the truth about UFOs will come from someone working in some other unrelated field. If this is so, what scientific fields of study and underground researchers do you think hold the most promise for being able to get a better handle on the UFO phenomenon?
Well, that's easy. Magnetohydrodynamics. That may be one, but I don't want to come across as sounding nebulous, so I want to name the paper that I've discussed earlier that was co-authored by Robert Theriault, France St. Laurent, Friedman T. Freund, and John Darren. That was the prevalence of earthquake lights associated with rift environments. That, I think, is available via press at seismosoc, which is seismosoc.org. That is a scientific paper that deals with what I think is very effectively termed UFOs, although we believe them to be, in this instance, natural in origin. But I think also that, you know, there's a journal that that I've been aware of for years. It was co-founded by the co-founder of the company Dynamic Systems, Charles Yost. And he was an Apollo-era NASA engineer who lived here in western North Carolina, where I reside. And he established a journal called Electric Spacecraft. Have you guys heard of that?
Just faintly, remotely, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about it. As a matter of fact,
I am aware of the theory.
Yeah, well, I've got a friend who is a astronomy professor at App State, and I asked him. I said, "Have you ever read Electric Spacecraft Journal?" And this is a journal that features all kinds of research from people in the scientific community worldwide that has to do with, well, exactly what the name of the journal says. What would be utilized to create an electric or perhaps a electric or nuclear aircraft? Stanton Friedman, of course, you know, nuclear physicist, has said that having worked in that industry after attending college in Chicago with, of course, Carl Sagan, if there had been nuclear aircraft ever instituted, that he would know about it. But I have to say that And with all due respect to Stanton, you know, we look at cases like the Cash Landrum incident, which you guys have covered in depth on this program. It seems pretty clear that there was something nuclear going on there, being followed, you know, supposedly by all these black helicopters. No official disclosure about what actually may have been going on, but it seems pretty clear that there was some sort of a nuclear aircraft. We have no evidence that it was alien. You know, we do have evidence, though, as a result of the injuries sustained, you know, the radiation sickness and the poisoning that Cash and Landrum suffered, that there was some sort of an object there. And throughout that, you know, that time period in the decades leading up to that incident in the early 80s, there were numerous cases where people suffered radiation burns and the other kinds of effects of probably what Jacques Vallée and others have speculated is non-ionizing radiation being emitted by these craft. So it does seem to me that not only is there a nuclear component in relation to the actual propulsion of these craft, but I think Tesla had speculated about it, and the Electric Spacecraft Journal for years has sought to understand the possibilities that an electric spacecraft might afford us. It gets into the realm of free energy and renewable energy sources, green energy, and a lot of these sorts of things. I think that those are fields that would be of interest to study, and I think also, of course, you know, the study of all different kinds of propagation of energy systems, electricity and whatnot. Plasma, the study of plasma, I think, which some would term the fourth state of matter, and also how plasma might be utilized, you know, in energetic systems and the like. You know, there are any number of places where people might look for where UFO science could be. But again, I think that a lot of this is going on underground. And when I say underground, it's not hidden literally in a bunker. I'm talking about scientific organizations, institutions carrying out their work. It's probably widely available online, but people don't go looking there because it doesn't have UFO written all over it. And those people, in turn, probably also wouldn't call their research anything related to UFOs. But if we could pull it all together, I think that, you know, from separate sources available in scientific academia and on the web and in other locations, possibly in government as well, there's probably a solution to the UFO phenomenon that could be pieced together from those proverbial puzzle pieces.
In our next segment of the PowerCast, by the way, Gogs McKay has some comments to make about what Micah just said. So it's going to get more and more fascinating. Once again, if you go to thepowercast.com, sign up for our newsletter, you get a free copy of Chris O'Brien's Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. That's a great book, so it's worth it. It's worth it if you pay for it. It's amazing that you get it free. Okay. We have Micah Hanks joining us with Gene, Chris, and Goggs. You're in
the PowerCast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.